Today on Family Talk.
Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk, the radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh with your host, world-renowned child psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. All throughout Scripture, God reminds us of our unique personhood. From the moment of conception, a new life is different from every other person in history. It's quite a breathtaking concept when you think about it. This truth is why all of us here at the James Dobson Family Institute boldly fight for the sanctity of human life. This past Friday was the nationwide March for Life, with the main event culminating in Washington, D.C. This year's event was a huge success, with millions of people supporting the pro-life cause, and we are continuing this call to action through our radio broadcasts over the next 3 days. These upcoming interviews are focused on the intricate life inside a mother's womb. Today you'll hear a classic conversation Dr. Dobson had with his good friend, John Bornsheen. John has a powerful pro-life testimony that we can't wait for you to listen to. Here now is Dr. James Dobson to further introduce today's guest on this broadcast of Family Talk.
We have a guest here today who has been working with Shirley and me for John, 20 years. Mm-hmm. Several years ago, you started a church near here in Colorado Springs out by Fort Carson. Mm-hmm. And tell me about your church.
Oh, well, how many broadcasts do we have?
Plenty.
I love talking about our church. It's one of those where you just say, okay, God is pushing and he's getting us out of our comfort zones. And for my wife and I, that's what he did. We were very comfortable in our service and work with the ministries that God has put under your charge and your amazing wife's charge with the National Day of Prayer. And I've had the privilege of serving her for 12 years. And the need for prayer in America is great. If it's ever a day when we need prayer, it's today. And yet at the same time, God was burdening us to get behind the pulpit, get into that place of shepherding, of being with people. I think the greatest burden I was starting to see is prayerlessness. And instead of talking at pastors, I wanted to talk with them. I wanted to come alongside them and understand their burdens, praying with people, mobilizing prayer right here in Colorado Springs. And so God gave us a family of military people, people who are serving our country day in and day out. And it has been growing every year. So it's Calvary Fellowship Fountain Valley, and we are just excited to be serving there.
Now, John, we're going to do something very unusual today. You have had a family history that will touch the hearts of our people. I know where you came from, and I know some of the circumstances, particularly in the lives of your mother, who was very young at the time. And you have written your story. And you have a copy of it in front of you. I could interview you about it, but I would like you to just read what you have written, because it is really very remarkably stated. And let's start with you reading that. We don't often read things on the broadcast, but I would love for you to do that today, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, thank you. This is I will do my best not to choke up. Every time I read this, it's very personal for me.
And you started at the top. There's a line at the top of this statement. It's almost a letter. And it says, I am alive because of prayer.
That's right.
Tell us about it.
Well, let me read this. And I pray that these words touch someone today. As you're listening to this, this is my story. It's very real, very personal. Let me take you back to 1973. During that year, gasoline was 40 cents a gallon. The Sears Tower opened in Chicago. The U.S. withdrew its troops from Vietnam. Skylab had launched into space, and Nixon declared, I am not a crook, during the Watergate hearings. Billie Jean King defeated Bobby Riggs during the Battle of the Sexes tennis match, and the Supreme Court rendered a decision on January 22nd, making abortion a U.S. constitutional right. It was also during this year that the course of my life was dramatically altered before I had ever taken my first breath. You see, it was 1973 that my mother, only a teenager at the time, fled for her life. She was running away from the sexual abuse she had endured at the hands of her stepfather. Living in perpetual fear, her only recourse was to run. She made her way to California, where she found a group of other troubled teens. The leader of the pack was a smart but wayward mechanic who was also a drug runner. Trouble is a magnet for the lost, an oasis to the broken. The group welcomed my mother, and she followed her angry heart into their open arms. The phrase troubled youth does not adequately describe the rebellious outcry that became her defense against vulnerability. In her mind, she would never again be the victim. Yet in the midst of bad choices and a lifestyle that was sure to lead her to prison, she became pregnant. This seems to have been the inevitable outcome of this environment of free love, with an endless supply of drugs and alcohol. So like so many others in her position, she made the only choice that seemed right. After all, how could she possibly raise a child when she couldn't feed herself and had little desire to be alive? The man responsible encouraged her to abort the baby, and she did. The effects to her body were harmful. She bled horribly, and the scar tissue was severe. Suddenly aware of the brutal reality that she had just become victim of her own choices, she cried out to God for help, a God she didn't know and resented. But this experience didn't stop her from returning to the lifestyle she knew. It wasn't long before she became pregnant again. Despite the scar tissue, shocked and disbelieving, she again determined to end this life interruption. But as she contemplated in exasperation, the God she had cried out to answered her. At that moment, she knew she had to take a stand. God had intervened. My mother made the decision for life and chose to carry her baby to term. And doctor, if I may just intervene, I think this was one of my original letters I wrote. I want to just make sure that the audience understands that you were a critical piece to that. And I shared that with you in a separate letter that as I was writing these words, my mother and I, we didn't have an open conversation really about this. And it didn't come out till later where she finally unveiled to me that God had used you. She heard your voice on the radio. She'd heard others speaking into her life, and it was a Holy Spirit moment.
Was I talking about abortion?
You were. I think, 1975, 76, right in that area, you were a voice for the unborn. And to this day, when she found out that I was going to be working with you, she had never told me up until a decade into my tenure at Focus on the Family that you had done this. She was so embarrassed. She was so wounded by her own past that we didn't even talk about these things. And she said it was Dr. Dobson's voice on the radio that was one of those Holy Spirit moments that turned me around that day.
So that influenced her. Hearing that broadcast influenced her.
That's right.
To not have the abortion.
That's right. That's right. God used that. That was one of the many voices she heard. And she didn't listen to Christian radio. She wasn't a believer. She was coming from an extremely broken home. And I'll elaborate on that a little more here with this letter. But I just want you to know that it was because of your faithfulness mm-hmm. to stand in the gap. She just remembered your young, passionate voice and defending life. And I think it was later you said you wouldn't cast a vote for anyone who would dare take the life of the unborn. And she just remembers that passion. So I really am here today because you stood in the gap.
John, I give the Lord the credit for that because I ached over what was happening. That was 2 years into the Roe v. Wade decision and mm-hmm. era. And my pastor was not talking about it. Other Christians, at least in the Protestant realm, didn't seem to understand it, didn't seem to care. Mm. It never came up. And I had many, many Christian friends saying, why do you get all excited about this? This is the law of the land. This is what the Constitution says. And I began railing on behalf of the unborn child. And it was a message that was placed in my heart by my Heavenly Father and by, frankly, my earthly father, who had a big impact. But for you to be one of those that says this baby was saved because of that work, mm-hmm. I am very, very grateful for that, and I don't take the credit for it. Go on with the letter.
Okay. But this experience didn't stop her from returning to the lifestyle she knew. It wasn't long before she became pregnant again. Despite the scar tissue, shocked and disbelieving, she became determined to end this life interruption. But she contemplated in exasperation. The God she had cried out to answered her. At that moment, she knew she had to take a stand. God had intervened. My mother made the decision for life and chose to carry her baby to term. But here's the cold reality. There wasn't a red carpet awaiting her when she returned home that night. There were no flowers in a thoughtfully positioned vase. There was only the reality that she was about to become a young mom. She still had no idea how she was going to make it through tomorrow, let alone the next day or the day after that. She had no support and no plan. But that wasn't a problem for the God who had just touched her heart. He was about to make a way in the wilderness, and I praise God for the pregnancy centers across America that are doing this service for women every single day. They aren't just engaged in the business of saving babies. They are engaged in the business of saving lives. By reaching out to the moms and dads that society has turned its back against, they are God's hands in action, giving medicine to the brokenhearted and hope to the hopeless. That's only the beginning of her story. There were still more turns and twists to come, but God was present in each part of her journey. My mother decided it was time to move forward with her life. She moved, took a new job, and tried to create an environment suitable for her new son. She knew the best place for her son was at a church, and there just happened to be a small but growing church down the road from her new home, Terry Road Baptist Church. She contacted the church, acquired the van schedule, and prepared to send me off to Sunday school the next weekend. As much as she wanted to, she felt that she couldn't take those first steps into church herself. She was too ashamed of her past. She was scared. She would be judged, confronted, but she didn't want those fears to hold back her son. Her strength and firm resolve against vulnerability would serve her well to push through those tough decisions. So my mother did one of the bravest things I can remember. She walked me right through the front doors of that little church, and you know what? Not one person put their finger to her chest, judged her for her previous life. No, the body of Christ acted like the body of Christ, welcoming her with open arms. Now, I have fond memories of Sunday school, friends, fun, and stories of hope and redemption. I took home all of my art projects, those illustrated stories of Noah, Moses, and Jesus. My mom would take those projects into her hand, smile, pull me in with a warm embrace. She would then put magnets to all four corners and proudly display them on the refrigerator. Little did I know that each weekend those stories were opening her heart to God more and more. At just 8 years old, I was an evangelist. As a result, my mother started attending regularly, gave her heart to Jesus Christ, and I accepted Christ right there with her. Eventually, she became the church secretary, planned the youth programs, and even went to work for Dr. Charles Stanley in Atlanta, Georgia. What a turnaround. Sure, she made some mistakes, but God had a greater plan for her life, and she took the baton and ran with it.
The essence of it is that your mother was totally, completely lost. Like you said, she had no plan. She had no future. There was no one to take care of her. And yet she heard a message of love and accepted a relationship with Christ, and he began to work in her life and also in yours.
That's right.
Now, John, we need to know the rest of the story. This explanation that you wrote and that we just heard you read goes back to the year 2000. But the truth of the matter is you didn't know that you were the little baby that was about to be aborted.
That's
and
right.
You didn't find that out till you were grown.
I did not. In fact, my mother and I, we just didn't talk about this. This is one of those pasts that I can't imagine the burdens that my mother was holding on to for all of these years. And in fact, I had already started my work alongside you and was doing the work of ministry. And she finally came forward and said, I need to tell you something. You need to know the truth of how God has worked in this situation.
So you didn't know any of the story that we just heard?
No. I knew that my mother had been through difficulty, but I didn't know that I was the baby that almost wasn't. In fact, I didn't know how many decisions to take life that my mother had to bear for so long. I made three decisions before you to take the life of those babies.
And they were aborted.
They were, all three. All three in a very short
period
of time.
And you were saved.
I was. I mean, you see how God has worked in this. And it's been amazing. If I can, just for the last 4 years, I just want to share with your listeners. We had the privilege in 2012 of talking about some of this, about my my history growing up and what God had revealed. And you invited me on the broadcast because I wrote you a letter. And I wanted you to know that you are a warrior in this culture. I wanted you to know that after my mother shared with me what she had finally opened up to convey to me, that you needed to know that because of your obedience to Almighty God and standing in the gap, I was here today as a result of that. And I just couldn't wait to tell you. So I penned you a letter just to personally thank you for that. And then you invited me on the broadcast. Well, because I told my mother, guess where I'm going? I'm going on the broadcast with Dr. Dobson.
And the conversation. She said, don't you dare.
It was hard. I mean, because she had only given me a glimpse of her struggle and the pain that she had gone through. And this was dividing our family, all of this history and the pain that was involved. And it's one of those things, even as a believer, you just go, let's focus on what God is doing now. Let's not talk about that. Let's not bring that up. Where we're at is where God wants us to be. But what she hadn't really addressed was the fact that in her were all of these wounds that were still deep down inside, scars, brokenness, a feeling of worthlessness that she truly could not be fully redeemed by the blood of Jesus. She had made too many bad choices and that God was still upset with her over these things. She hadn't released that. And so here on the outside, we looked like the perfect Christian family to everybody. I'd already been working in ministry. Everything looked like it's going great. And then she finds out I'm going on the broadcast with you to talk about some of our life journey. And she just broke down and wept and just finally unleashed, here's the truth. You need to know that I have had 3 abortions and I was this close to making you number 4. And had it not been for God using that man to stand in the gap, you may not be here today. And she has carried that shame. And through this process, Doctor, ever since our last broadcast on this, people need to know that it has opened up conversation in our family that has brought so much healing. What they heard was a story of hope, and there was even greater hope on the horizon.
John, there is healing for others at that point, which is why I wanted you to be here. We're talking to a lot of people, a lot of women particularly, who have walked this same path. It may not have involved abuse, but it has certainly involved sexual sin and the sin of abortion. And yet, even though God has forgiven them, they haven't forgiven themselves. But they can find that forgiveness because God is the God of not only current sin, but sin that He is forgiving and canceled. That will be very encouraging to a lot of the people who are listening to us. What else did your mother tell you?
Oh, my. Well, after our broadcast, the journey felt like it only began. I thought we were now telling of the testimony of the work that Jesus Christ had done, where my mother coming out of this horrific start and how God really brought me down a path of ministry service, this ministry person who would never have been had you not stood in the gap, had she not listened to the Holy Spirit, and I wouldn't be here pastoring a church today had that story gone the way the enemy had wanted it.
How does that make you feel to know the role that the Lord played in your life?
It is so humbling. I mean, when he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that he uses the broken things, he uses the weak to bring down the strong, the foolish to shame the wise, I think that is my resume. And I think that all of us, we really can identify with that, that God intentionally plucked out the weakest. He picks King David, and he wasn't even in the room. His own dad didn't even think that he was to be king of Israel. You go take care of the sheep. The boys and I have this. Yeah. And he always uses the underdog, and I just praise him for that. I think everyone listening today can probably look in the mirror and feel like an underdog from time to time, and that's whom God uses, and it's so exciting. And ever since we shared that story, I had the privilege of sharing that story with you on the broadcast. My mother and I had these moments of healing that I can't put to words. She came to one of the galas. After I came on the broadcast with you, I was invited by a number of pregnancy centers to share my testimony. And the last one that was here in Colorado Springs, she came to. and they gave her a standing ovation. She then signed up with that pregnancy center here in Colorado Springs, went through the healing process, had a memorial service for the three babies whom she had chosen to take their life, named them because she felt the Holy Spirit gave them names, and now she's counseling other women. This all happened in the last 6 weeks. I mean, this is fresh and it's exciting. And it's all because of you, doctor. I can't serve you enough in my gratitude.
You're overstating that, but it's a miracle any way you slice it. And you've got brothers and sisters in heaven that you don't know about or haven't known about.
I haven't. And the way they go through a memorial service, how she bought clothes for them and put that right underneath their candles and had a memorial service.
To get healing from it.
Oh, our relationship is unbelievable right now. The release, the feeling that God has forgiven her, that she's had that moment of reconciliation with God, has brought such healing into our family. She now has had her mom come and now living with her 2 weeks ago because she wants to be a caretaker. She feels this release of just service now. And it's just amazing, the domino effect, the ripple in the pond, whatever you want to call it, it's impacting our whole family story and all of that. Because a man on a radio who honored God said, choose life. Oh, praise God. What a story.
Well, John, referring to my situation, as you know, I left Focus on Family and everybody thought I was going to retire and expected us to. And I said to Shirley, I just feel God's hand in my back because the job is not done. The babies are still being killed. Families are still falling apart. Yeah. And we have an opportunity to reach a lot of those people. And how can we go sit on a front porch someplace and retire? And that's why we're still here, because we're attempting to do what we can in a broken world, broken society. John, you give me encouragement. You give me strength. And I am grateful that you now are out there speaking on these subjects. You said you've been to a crisis pregnancy center. You feel called to
do that? I do. And in fact, I'm encouraging my mother to do the same. She had in fact, we talked about that of would she ever be a voice for women going through this? And I said, well, that would be a Holy Spirit move of God. And now she's counseling and she's serving in a pregnancy center. I believe she will, and I'm excited for what God's about to do.
Well, John, I appreciate you. Shirley appreciates you, and I'm so glad that you came to be with us today. Appreciate you being here to talk about what could be an unmentionable subject. This could be something that neither you nor your mother could talk about. This could be something that you never reveal to the outside world. But God's done a miracle here in your life, in her life, and now in the lives of those you touch.
Amen.
And I'm grateful for that.
Thank you.
Thanks for the kind words that you said. But we know who gets the credit.
We love you, Dr. Dobson, and I know all your listeners around the world love you. So thank you for standing in the gap.
A truly incredible story of love and redemption today here on Family Talk. John Bornsheen and his mother's testimonies are proof that God is still doing miracles. It's great to hear how they are leading others to Christ and encouraging moms to choose life. You can learn more about John, his story, or his church when you visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Now, as we conclude today's broadcast, I want to encourage you to listen to Dr. James Dobson every day with your Amazon Alexa. This smart device allows you to stay up to date with our latest interviews through a simple command. Once you enable the Family Talk skill, just say, Alexa, play today's broadcast of Family Talk. It's that easy. Visit drjamesdobson.org/Alexa to learn how to listen to Family Talk on your Amazon Alexa. Well, thanks for tuning in today, and make sure you join us again tomorrow for a brand new interview featuring Dr. Dobson and Dr. William Lyle. He's a pro-life doctor with profound medical research under his belt and amazing stories to tell. You will not want to miss what he will be sharing coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton for Family Talk. Where do you go to receive support and advice for your family? You know, we interact with thousands of people every day through our Facebook page. There you're going to find inspiring advice on what matters most to you. Whether it's marriage or parenting, you can be sure our profile will keep you updated with how your family can succeed. Visit us at facebook.com/ Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Each day, you're going to find our latest broadcast, helpful resources, inspirational pictures and quotes. Nowhere else are you going to be able to start your day with a thought from Dr. Dobson, as well as a special message before you go to sleep. Remember, you can be sure that every post on our page is created with you and your family in mind. Take time to visit us and become a part of our online community on Facebook, will you? Simply go to facebook.com/ Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.